We are joined in the media center by our pro stock winner of the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals, presented by Protect the Harvest. This is Erica Enders, her 34th career victory, but first Winter Nationals. Erica won from the number one qualifying position. She took down Christian Quadra in the first round, Dallas Glenn in the second round, Greg Anderson in the semifinals, and then beat her teammate Aaron Stanfield in the final round. Erica, walk us through your race day.
Race day was awesome. I mean, it was really challenging when I looked at the ladder this morning. Had my teammate Christian Quadra first round, two juggernaut KB cars second and third round, and then my teammate Aaron Stanfield in the final. So, not a walkthrough by any means. Some interesting stuff happened out there today. The semifinals, the track was really loose. For both Greg and myself, I guess he was just a little bit looser. But and then in the final round, Aaron had to change an engine before the finals. And I don't like to talk negative, but like I went up there and I pre-staged, and I always take a deep breath when I pre-stage. And the way that the weather changed, my glasses completely fogged up. And I was scared of going red because we were 12, 13, and 16 today. So I missed the tree. I wanted to keep all my lights under 20 today, but 3 out of 4 is not bad. So we were able to park the Melling Performance Hot Rod in the winner's circle. And like you said, we have number one here at the, almost said U.S. Nationals, at the Winter Nationals. And to be able to secure that 900th Pro Stock victory with that special Hurst Shifter trophy was pretty awesome.
Let's open it up to members from the media, members of the media. Josh Hatchett, NHRA.
Erica, you talked the other night about significance of some of these special wins you've had. Obviously, U.S. Nationals, you had the special one in Vegas for the 150th, I believe, and then this one for Pro Stock's 900th. To have your name associated with that, you know, forever now, what do those kind of victories mean to you?
They mean an awful lot. As a kid who was first and foremost a fan of Pro Stock, you know, most kids, you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, and you know, aside from astronauts and lawyers and doctors, if you're talking about drag racing, you want to drive Top Fuel, and it was always Pro Stock for me. I loved the fact that you left with a clutch and that you had to shift the car, and so that meant a lot to me. And to have such big dreams and aspirations as a young kid, and then driving junior dragsters for 9 years and racing in the Lucas Oil Series for 5 before coming into Pro Stock, you know, we've accomplished way more than I ever thought we would be able to. So to be able to leave our mark on the class, no matter how much longer this career lasts, is something that's really special to me, because coming in, you know, you hear the naysayers, being the only female, she's just gonna be a flash in the pan, oh, her daddy's money, blah, blah, you hear all this stuff, and we've stuck it out and had a lot of tenacity. We've been through way more valleys than we've had peaks, and this is my 18th season in Pro Stock, so this win is very significant. I mean, you treat every race day the same, but this 900th victory for Pro Stock means a lot to me.
Phil Burch, National Dragster. When you look at the event as a whole, not many boxes you didn't check. I mean, number one and two qualifiers, elite cars both in the final round, beat Greg Anderson in the semifinals, beat the guy Dallas Lynn, who wants to be the best starting line driver, take your place. Could it have gone much better?
I don't think so. Aside from the final round, me not cracking the tree the way that I wanted to with some just outside distractions, yeah, it was a great day. I mean, to put the elite performance, elite motorsports cars in the 1-2 position. After qualifying was all said and done, Aaron Stanfield and I said, you know, this is how we want to finish, 1-2, and we were able to both work our way to the final round. He has a super fast hot rod. TJ's car is really fast too. During testing, he was killing it. So just getting behind on those first two qualifying runs for him were interesting. But yes, this race has been awesome, especially leading up to this. 2 weeks ago, I didn't know if I was going to be able to drive yet without the release from my doctor with my arm, and my guys hooked it up with a really awesome shifter that gave me more leverage, and coming in here with just 2 test runs since the world finals, I couldn't have asked for a better weekend.
Could you talk real quickly about your arm and what you went through?
Sure. Last August, I tore a couple of tendons in my arm, just lifting something and turning my arm weird, and we finished the season, and through that process, August, September, October, November, I just destroyed the tendon across my elbow. So as soon as the season was over, I had surgery on it to repair it, and he said, I won't have my strength back for 6 to 8 months, but if I go through my therapy, he would hopefully be able to release me before Gainesville. And I went back a week before we headed out here, and I was like, look, I can lift this, I can do this. And he's like, well, I can tell you're not taking no for an answer. So, you know, the pain is pretty okay. I'm sure I'll be sore tomorrow, but I'm just glad to be in the race car, honestly.
Lee Craft, Monday Morning Racer for Competition Plus Power Hour. Erica, Greg made some Stern comments concerning the prep, and you just mentioned the looseness in the semifinal rounds. For the Nitro guys, we've heard nothing but praise with the new track. So is it an issue with the track overall or a matter of prep itself? And was it unique to Sunday or was it throughout the rounds of qualification as well?
No, I had no issues during qualifying or during eliminations. Rounds 1 and 2 and 4, there was no issue with the track being loose for some reason. And granted, we're first out. Greg and I were first out, and that's something that him especially, but myself as well, not being used to that. So, you know, the cooler temperatures, we require a different track prep than the Nitro guys. Where we get loose is from high gear on, which is 660 to 1320. Well, their track's over at 1,000 feet. They don't want it sprayed past there because it tears up their tires, understandably. So I think the track grinding and the surface prep was awesome. It just was kind of one of those deals that it was just loose, and sometimes you have to deal with it, unfortunately.
Erica, you were pretty emotional on that top end, you know, like a take no prisoners, you know, we're going after it this year. Can you speak to that and kind of where that came from? And it seems like it's going to add a lot of kind of excitement to the class this year.
I think so. I mean, you know, you listen to all the talk behind your back from your competitors, from their crew members, from their wives, and you just kind of listen to it, right? And you, in one sense, are like, okay, whatever, their opinion means nothing. But it kind of does a little bit, like it adds fuel to the fire. And I came out this weekend, I told my guys there's no more Nice Erica this year. We don't need any more friends, and I'm going for it, man. Like, you never know what season's gonna be your last. And if this is my last, I want it to be something that I can proudly hang my hat on. So needless to say, we've done this for 18 years, right? And you're gonna have your off days. I know the battles that are ahead of us, and all we can do is prepare the best that we can, but the fire is lit under my entire team's butt, and we are ready to go.
Out there with Alan Reinhardt, you referenced it, and I only caught half of it, but someone who had said you're going to be, you know, washed up or something.
Yeah.
But what I didn't get who that was or where it came from, but what I took was that you take that energy and you use it and turn it into motivation.
Correct, yeah. I mean, you take the negativity that comes from those people who have accomplished absolutely nothing and they judge you from the sofa in their mother's basement. And I used it to flip it positive because this morning I read his comments. One of my guys showed me, he's like, yeah, you're familiar with him, we'll talk about it later. But he said, she's old, she's washed up, she's no longer the driver she was on the starting line. And I said, okay, watch this, hold on. So we were 13, 16, 12. Final round, not so great, but 3 or 4, and again, he ain't done nothing.
Any other questions for our Winter Nationals champ? I know you guys, there was an engine swap in the pits.
Correct.
So talk about if there's anything that we didn't get to. Bobby Bennett, you just came in. Do you have any questions for Erica?
No, I've already asked.
He's already asked his questions. Is there anything that we have yet to address that you'd like to put out there or talk about before we let you go?
Well, I want to touch on the pro stock class as a whole. You know, our toughest competitors out there, KB Racing, they have worked hand in hand with Elite Motorsports, Richard Freeman, to make the class what it is right now, to make it more affordable for people to come in. And I was talking about it at Driver Introductions this morning, how the landscape has completely changed. When I rounded that corner for my first qualifying session in 2005, I will never forget the feeling that I had looking at the fans and the grandstands and the TV cameras stuffed in your face. And I was racing against a bunch of older guys, and now the landscape has completely changed. There's Greg Anderson, myself, and we're taking on this class of kids, which I think is so cool because pro stock has always been your, you know, factory hot rod old guys deal, and now we have all these kids interested in the class, and it's again more affordable because of what Richard Freeman and KB Racing guys have done.
Quick note, Bobby jumping in, go ahead.
I guess it's more of a statement than it is a question. Those guys who raced in the 70s and 80s, if you took your stats that you've accomplished back then, you'd be legendary status too.
Thank you.
So that's just something that you're a legend of this era, and you will be. I mean, I know you can't admit it or you'll get beat up on the internet, but for those of us who see and understand what you've accomplished, you are moving into legendary status.
Well, thank you for saying that. I take a lot of pride in how we do this, and one day I'll be able to lay my head down and know the feats that we accomplished when the cards were stacked against us, and that makes me proud. Thank you for saying that.
The last time we saw you stand on the stage with Alan Reinhart like that, in the center of the track, surrounded by fans, everybody out in the middle of the track, kind of a wild situation. It was Arizona 2020, big win by you before the world changed. And now here we are, starting to get back to normal. Things are different. And you're on stage in the middle of the track, surrounded by fans again. When you think about it like that, talk about that road that you've traveled, that we've all traveled together.
Well, in Arizona, we didn't know that the world was about to stop turning as we know it. And again, like I mentioned, you never know when that moment will be your last. So I always try to soak it in, and I'm thankful I have my sister out here to document everything with photos and video. But to be surrounded by a sea of people who wholeheartedly love our sport the way that we do is pretty cool. And you know, I was able to see like the Jumbotron, I still call it the Winston Vision, that's how old I am, but the Jumbotron in the background, and you know, I'm on stage surrounded by these people. It's just, it's a dream come true, because in my mind, I'm still just a kid with big aspirations, and we've been able to accomplish a lot, but the good Lord has blessed me, and I'm definitely thankful for this life.
Erica, congratulations on your Winter Nationals victory. Good luck in Arizona just days from now.
Yeah, thank you.